Every morning just to keep a job, I gotta fight my way through the hustle and mob. Sounds of the city pounding in my brain while another day goes down the drain.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
it's a 5 o'clock world when the whistle blows. No one owns a piece of my time, and there's a 5 o'clock for me inside my clothes, thinking that the world looks fine. Yeah, holiday. Yeah, parading my time for the pay I get, living on money that I ain't made yet. Gotta keep going, gotta make my way.
Work is a program produced by Max Goldfarb and Laura Kunreuther for WGXC Community Radio 90.7 FM. You can listen to episodes of this program by visiting the program archive at wgxc.org.
Hi everyone, I'm Laura Kunreuther from WGXC, and I have been in and around the neighborhood talking to our neighbors about their work in Columbia and Greene County. Today we're going to hear a conversation I had with Husnera in her home in Columbia County, where we sat in her living room and she served me tea along with some spicy chickpeas and a delicious sweet cornmeal suji. Like so many Bangladeshis in the area, Husnera's first job was at MSIG Manufacturing Corporation, once the largest maker of buttons in the nation, that produced about 4 million buttons per day. When she wasn't at the button factory, she worked part-time at COARC, Columbia County's largest employer. And there was a brief and rather difficult stint she told me about working at the Fireman's Home, a retirement center for volunteer firemen. And currently she works at the Hudson Family Literacy Program, where she assists Bangladeshi families on issues of literacy, health, and education in their homes. Let's listen in to our conversation. How was it for you came with your children, and how was it for your children that you were working such long hours in the button factory or wherever? Were they old enough?
Yeah, my oldest son was old, and he was helping me with the, like, English sons, homework, and other thing. And at home too, I worked two jobs then when I came. I was working in Quark, part-time, and working in a button factory. So I worked 14 hours a day at the beginning. Uh-huh. So it was very hard. Sometimes my youngest one, like, for nothing was, like, he couldn't express that how he felt in my absence, but he was just making, he was just one day he was crying for nothing, they were fighting, those kind of things. Like, he couldn't really express why I'm not home all the time.
Right.
He didn't understand. So
how old was he?
He was 11.
11. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And where did he went to school here in Hudson?
Yes, he went to school in Hudson, mm-hmm. Yes.
Did either of your sons begin working also? Did they
No, so I didn't want to. We came here for education, so I wanted to let them work. But when during the summer, they worked.
What kinds of things?
My oldest son worked in the same button factory in the summer.
Oh, right.
When he graduated from high school.
Uh-huh.
Before that, he didn't work.
Uh-huh.
But youngest son, even he was 12, he was delivering paper. Then he got the job in Wendy's, Price Chopper.
Right.
So I think I shouldn't let him work because he disinterested in it. He went to college, but he never finished it because work is much... he's getting money, he didn't want to.
Yeah.
So now I'm trying to put him back to college.
Uh-huh. Where did they go to Columbia Green?
Youngest one went to Columbia Green, but oldest one went to John Fisher in Rochester.
Uh-huh.
Then he went to City University in New York. He did his bachelor's, master's there, and he's working on his PhD there too. Youngest one went to Hudson Valley, then went to, Columbia Green, then Hudson Valley.
Uh-huh.
He didn't finish his school, he didn't get a degree. He went a few years, but he didn't get a degree.
Uh-huh.
So I'm working on it, trying to put him back.
Yeah. He's now working.
He lives in Albany.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing that was very hard to accept. He has a girlfriend. That is not acceptable in our religion and culture.
Mm.
So he's living with his girlfriend in Albany, working in a store, Advanced Auto Parts.
Do people in Bangladesh know about that?
Yeah, they know.
Yeah.
They talk about that a lot at the beginning. Now he's not in this town, so people don't see him.
Right.
And I accepted it too, but it was very hard for me at the beginning to accept that.
Yeah.
He's going with the girl, has two boys with other men, and she's older than my son. And
That's, I'm sure that's the story of many people who raise their children. He was very young when he came to America.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's probably feels American.
No. That girl is very nice, and she comes. I accept it. And people say, I accepted it. They come to visit me. I go to visit them. So people don't really talk about that, but at the beginning it was very hard.
I can imagine. Is there a strong connection with the people whose homes you go to visit socially as well, or is that strictly work?
Socially.
You know them.
And my policy is not to get involved with people too much. So I don't really so friendly with them. Few of them I am like friend with, but other not like they're my friend, but I have socially involved with them too. But not close.
Right.
I don't like that closeness. You get too close, then so many things happen, they know each other's business, so I don't really like that.
Yeah. But it seems like those connections are also necessary in order to get jobs like at the button factory.
Mm-hmm.
Or that was your relative who got you?
That was my relative.
Your relative,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And is he still in town?
No, he left. He left the button factory, went to army, served for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, he went to college, finished his education.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And right now he's in Bangladesh working for an NGO.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in Bangladesh right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you imagine that you will go back to Bangladesh?
That's a very tricky, hard question. I want to go back, but I left my job and we don't have enough property or something that I can live there.
Right.
So if at the old days I think here going to nursing home or something is very hard.
Yeah.
So I have a plan. If I can get my social security money or I have, I might go, or it depends on the situation. I might, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, nobody really knows.
No, that
but
I don't
you
know.
Have a. Are you now? You have a green card, or are you an American
I'm
citizen?
I'm a citizen.
You have a citizenship.
The time to rise has been.
Did you do any other work that was maybe non-paying work that was important to you while you were here or while you were in Bangladesh?
Non-paying job. Here I do lot of translation services, not paying, like people used to call me here around all the time. It wasn't paying. They were not paying, but last few years.
What kind of for whom would you do that?
Like for Bangladeshi population, like less they don't speak English. Take them to the hospital. They have doctor's appointment. They have to go something. They have to fill out some application.
Uh-huh.
This kind of thing. Now I do through the job.
Oh right.
So
that's
before
nice.
That, I was doing. Still, I do something like they go to doctor. I take them or talk like. Translation, And here all the agency, school, DSS, court paid me. So sometimes at the beginning they didn't pay, but now I'm charging.
Right, now you can charge. And
I was library board member for a few years. And now radio council committee member, this kind of voluntary.
If you were to think back to when you were young in Bangladesh, did you have an image and did you imagine what kind of work or what kind of life you would have when you were young? And does it connect at all?
No, it doesn't at all. In Bangladesh, I grew up in a rural. I never heard that you have to be independent. And now I think back, if my parent would say that you were independent, my life would be different. I didn't have to struggle that much. I could go to school for something like technical, doctors or engineering. I never. I took the general education. General education everywhere is hard to get a professional job. Then we thought, okay, when I was young, I'll get married, my husband will work, I'll take care of my children and like raise them up very the way I want to, but it didn't happen. So I had to be independent.
Right.
So now I am the main earning member in the family, not my children, not my husband.
Really? And so do you then send money back to your husband in Bangladesh?
My husband had a job, so now he went back to get his retirement money. Still he didn't get that money, so here and there a little bit I send. It's not regular basis, but when he was here, I had to provide everything like medical and everything for him.
Right.
And my son, one is living with his, he's working, but here and there whenever he needed money. And another one is still a student, and last June we went and got him married, so I had to pay the expense, most of it.
For your son got married? Wow. This is the one who's studying?
Yes.
He came here
yesterday. He's going to leave today. I'm also going with him. He went to Bangladesh for 3 months. He left his stuff here, so he's going to take this to New York. And tomorrow I'm going to come back.
Wow. Does your husband have any intention of coming back here to work? Or
he's saying he's not gonna. He has knee problem. When he come first time, he worked a little bit in a factory. He didn't like it. Still, he was trying to do it, but he has knee problem. He couldn't keep up with the factory's first phase work.
Is this in the button factory?
No, he worked in CAS.
Oh, in CAS.
Yeah. He couldn't keep up with. Then he tried a few other factories in Novapec and here and there, but it didn't work out for him. And for any like sitting job or office job, his speaking is not that good. His English is good. People really don't understand him for the accent. So he didn't get any job. So he was basically doing nothing here.
Wow, yeah, that's
so he has intention to come back, just to stay with us as a family.
Right.
That's what, otherwise he cannot work. He is like about 14 years older than me, and he has knee problem.
Right.
So he can't really do physical work anymore.
He can't do physical work. And what is his work in Bangladesh? It's not physical.
No, it's not physical. He also worked for a scientific research organization. He was a procurement officer. He procured scientific materials, chemicals, and machineries for research. That was his job.
We'll be right back.
offering. I'm gonna wear your robe, I'm gonna wear your righteous mane everywhere I go. You're gonna light my candle, son, you're gonna make it shine, you're gonna lead me to the throne.
I'm gonna testify.
I am a working mate, I get things done. Work for the Holy Ghost, work for the Son. I am a working mate, oh yes I am. I am a special agent of the Lamb, yeah. Now I was born in the city, child, I was born in the north. I was born in the autumn time, Lord only knows wherefore. I was born when leaves turn red, born when things are dying. But I was born with a big old mouth. I am a working man, I get things done. Work for the Holy Ghost, work for the Son. I am a working man, oh yes I am. I am a special agent of the Lamb.
Was it that you came to buy this house? You, what, is it recent or no?
6 years.
6 years. That's,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was at the beginning. I was sharing with someone. That was another hard part to sharing with people.
Yeah. Sharing so, with who? With an American?
With the Bangladeshi.
Bangladeshi.
Bangladeshi family. So then when
you were renting a place?
Yes, I was renting an apartment and sharing with people. When I had enough to share with people, I was desperate. I was looking for a house and my income wasn't enough to afford a separate apartment because my two nephews were living with me, my two sons and myself. I needed a big apartment,
right.
But my income was very little,
right.
Just the button factory.
How many people were, when you were sharing, how many people were in the house? 10 in one apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a three bedroom or two bedroom?
It was like kind of four or five. They have a small den and this like five almost.
Uh-huh.
One orange street, the orange one.
The orange
that painted the orange building.
Oh, the big orange one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wow.
That one, like 10 people wasn't all the time, but see, five of us, seven was living there for like about 10, 11 months. Then first I was sharing in person with her, his daughter and himself. Then his family came. Three others, so we were 10 at one point.
Uh-huh.
So I was desperately looking for a house, what I can afford. I also put application for subsidized housing, Hudson Terrace.
Right.
So when I was desperately looking for apartment, at the same time I got that apartment in Hudson Terrace. That was, I was so happy with that. But God bless me at the right time when I needed the most. So I get the apartment in Hudson Terrace. I lived there about 8 years, 8 months, lived there. Then I think, okay, my job, I changed my job, my rent was increasing and increasing. At one point my sons are out, now I'm by myself. I'm paying the rent is nothing, plus I wanted to do, I love gardening. So I wanted to have my garden and own house. So I decided, oh, I'm paying that high rent, I'd rather buy a house. So I bought this house in 2004.
And at that point, it was you were, your income was such that it made it possible to buy
a house. I actually was looking for one family house, but I couldn't afford one family house. That's why I bought two family house.
Oh.
So it helped me. The rent helped me with my mortgage and everything.
I see. So somebody rents down below.
Yes.
Uh huh. So now you're a landlord too.
Yeah.
A different kind of work.
Different kind of work. Yes.
Is it a Bangladeshi family that rents below?
It's American.
American
family.
Give me a job, give me
do. Gonna be a blue collar man. Yeah, hey, hey.
Gonna be a
blue collar man. I am what I am. Gonna be a blue collar.
I told you when I look at you, something I just wanna do.
Are there any of these different kinds of jobs that you've had where you felt this is my work?
Or are all of the jobs work that is something that one does?
No, this current job, I think this is my work. I'm happy with this job because when I came, I had to find out everything by myself, nobody around to help me. Now I can help people to what to do in what situation.
Right.
So that, and plus I like to work with people. So this is, I like this job, but button factory and nursing home, that was, and nursing home someday I cried when they misbehave, the patient, and when they like made a mess to clean those mess, it was like someday I cried it for.
Oh, I imagine, yeah. So, I mean, that's a hard situation to be in,
mm-hmm.
to have to be.
And in Bangladesh, when I was interviewer for the international organization, that was, I liked that job. I traveled many places, even though I didn't hold a big position, but that organization was so big and so much facility. I used to flew places for interviewing people, and when I get there at the airport, Jeep is ready with soap driver. So that was very, here, we're nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had maid at home, came home from work, even I'm downstairs, and she would run downstairs, get the lunch schedule from my hand, and my all clothes are ironed, washed. I didn't have to think about those things.
Wow, that's a different life, right? Do you think that's the case with many of the families here? Or
in Hudson, not many. Many of the family in Hudson came from rural area, and they didn't really work in Bangladesh. They from rural area. They used, not many. Some of them are like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it is easy if you have a job, not even a high-paying job, still you can afford a maid at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's common in Bangladesh.
Yeah, I work in Nepal, so I know
mm-hmm.
a little bit of this, I mean, a lot of the South Asia social.
Mm-hmm.
So should we try these?
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's try this.
So this is hot, this is sweet. So when you burn your tongue with this, then you can sweeten your tongue.
Okay.
Cool with this one.
And what do you call this?
This is chickpea.
Yeah.
This is cornmeal I'm cooked with milk and sugar.
Uh-huh, and it's like a... Is it like a kheer?
Kheer?
No.
Rice pudding?
It's like suji in my...
Oh, suji. Okay, just halwa thasa?
Halwa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, halwa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Suji. But it is a little too tight. I should put a little bit more milk because it's too...
Uh-huh.
It should be like liquid, little bit liquidy.
And
so.
You are not eating right now?
No, I
no.
cannot eat.
After
sundown. After sundown.
Uh-huh. And... when is Ramadan finished?
I think next month, 10th maybe.
10th, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It depends on the moon, so
right.
We are hoping like 10th will be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you. Want water?
Thank you.
You want water too? Or just
tea?
Tea
is good.
Tea is
fine.
Tea is
fine. Thank you.
Mm,
this is delicious.
Thank you.
And what do you call this?
Suji.
Suji.
Actually,
suji ko halwa bhancha ke.
Yeah, actually we make it with the wheat meal type thing, that suji. So here I couldn't find any, so I have cornmeal. I said, let's make with cornmeal. We make from wheat,
mm-hmm.
the suji.
Mm.
This is from corn.
This
it's
is from
corn. Little different.
That's good. And When you were working so hard, did you have time to cook?
Yeah, then I had to cook every single day. As I said, we had 10 people at home.
Wow.
Every single day. But my son helped me a lot, and the other girl living with me, with her father, so
mm-hmm.
she helped me too. So, and I had chore for them, like, and the person cooked too. If I'm cleaning or preparing food, he would cook. Then children has chores, so they would clean that table and would do the dishes. So that's how I managed.
Right, that's the way you managed, because that must have been. Did you do most of the cooking in Bangladesh?
I just did the cooking part, but cleaning and preparing that I had made.
Mm-hmm.
I do my own cooking. I don't like other people cook my food.
Mm-hmm.
So I like
cooking. It's delicious. The house that's the orange house, was that a house that at that time the same owner that painted it orange, or was it a different?
Different owner.
Uh-huh.
That house is very popular.
Really?
One of my friend's daughters will live there. And which house? That orange house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Everybody lived in that house, huh?
Yeah.
Were there many big apartments? Is that why?
The apartment we lived with, there was a big living room, then a big dining room, a small room, other three bedroom. And yeah, it is. And kitchen was big too. We had eaten kitchen too. So, and so we put a bed and dining room too, because we have so many people. And my nephew and son shared, and their daughter and myself shared. So that's how we managed.
You managed, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say tasty?
In Bengali, it's maja.
Maja?
Maja.
Mito.
Maja.
Hasnera's story reminds us that many of us do not know exactly what work lies ahead or where our jobs will take us. Prior to coming to the States, Hasnera imagined that she would live her life in Bangladesh, working primarily as a housewife, raising her children in the way she wanted. "I never heard you have to be independent," she said, "and here, like in Bangladesh, it is hard to get a professional job with a general education." What struck me during our conversation was the juggling act Hasnera had to do between long hours at her job and the work she did at home caring for her two sons, whom she was determined would get a good education. As Hasnera shows us, not all work is paid work, but much valuable work goes into making a family and a community.
Work is a program produced for WGXC Community Radio 90.7 FM. You can listen to episodes of this program by visiting the program archive at wgxc.org. Same land. Why'd you want to be my friend when I feel like the children running out of hands? Welcome to the working week. Welcome to the working week.
Just mansions of pain. See my daddy walking through them factory gates in the rain. Factory takes his hearing, factory gives him life. The working, just the working life.
something saying. The sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they're saying, the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they work so hard till the sun is going down, working on the highways and byways and wearing a frown. You hear them moaning their lives away, then you hear somebody say, that's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. Can't you hear them saying, I'm going home one of these days. I'm going home, see my woman whom I love so dear. But meanwhile, I've got to work right here. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. That's the sound of the men working on the chain gang. All day long they're saying, my work is so hard, give me water, I'm thirsty, my work is so hard, oh, oh, my work is so hard.
And now, there's nothing left for us to say really, but to sing you one last good nightly song, and to wish you all good night.
Let's drink to the hard-working people. Let's think of the lowly of birth. Raise your glass to the good and the evil. Let's drink to the salt of the earth.
Say a prayer for the common foot soldier. Spare a thought for his back-breaking work. To burn the fires and to still till the earth. When I look into this faceless crowd, a swirling mass of gray, blue, black and white, they don't look real to me. In fact, we all look so strange. Yeah. Raise your glass to the hardworking people. Let's drink to the uncounted heads. Let's think of the wavering millions who need leading but get gamblers instead. Crowd.